We're ready. Niños y niñas, señores y señoritas, luchadores and luchadores, right here. Right now on the Trendy Topics Network, I'm going to bring to you LuChat. LuChat is the podcast that chats all about the happenings within Lucha Underground. And I am the host, Finn Fish, and this is the 69th installment of LuChat. And on this week's show, we're going to chat about Season 3's Episode 17, titled The Gauntlet. We got some Lucha news. We got some upcoming news, primarily about this show. But first, how was your New Year's, man? Oh, for me, I had a great time just because I didn't go anywhere. Yes, I live in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Strip is popping. They shut down the Strip, where there's no traffic, only foot traffic. People can walk up and down the Strip and get all their beers and all that. Not this year, because usually there's mayhem and all this other stuff that happens right after New Year's. A lot of people go wild and crazy. A lot of tourists think it's just like the Wild Wild West out there. So I didn't make it up there. And usually I watch, you know, sit out, look outside and watch the fireworks, but I had a bunch of buildings blocking me, so I had to really go out on the street for an 8-minute display of fireworks. Nah, I'll pass. I'll watch them on TV. So that was my choice, and I had a little party with some company, so that was pretty cool. And last week I had El Hijo de Finn Fish, the son of Finn Fish, on here. So definitely check out that show. He liked doing the podcast. He got to hear himself when we already had recorded it. I played him the show and he liked it. So go out there and enjoy the likes that people said that, you know, he did a pretty good job. So I enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. And hopefully you enjoyed it. Now let's just jump right into the Lucha news. And what I think is a very big story is Lucha Underground is doing a mid-season finale, which means around January 11th, that would be episode 19, pretty much a little less than half of the season. They're doing a mid-season finale, so that's very cool. I didn't see when they said they were coming back, but I don't think they're going to take too long of a time off. But once that information gets out, hopefully before, you know, they go on hiatus, I will get that information out to you. And in some not-so-good news, apparently, Lucha Underground has pushed back their tapings for Season 4. Reports are saying it's going to happen now in October. So what does that lead to? Frustration between the top talent who initially dumped those dates in February for them to, you know, come back to Lucha Underground. In and now a lot of people are complaining, the talent, per se, that is too far in between, you know. You know, they want to get paid, they want to be on TV, they want to do all this other stuff. And by my calculations I did earlier, it seems that if it comes back, you know, starts taping in October, that's the tapings. That doesn't include anything and everything else. So it's going to be some time in between Season 3 and Season 4. So hopefully they work some stuff out. Maybe October is a better time for them to tape. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they get more information about this. But I like it to be a little bit continuous, you know, maybe a month or a month and a half off between seasons. But, you know, if you do the math, depending on what's going to happen, Lucha Underground was going to end up around, I think, the beginning of June. They're going to push it to January. So, and they're going to start taping in October. Ooh, maybe won't start until the December, into the beginning of the year. But that all being said, let's hit that fighting music and get into Season 3's Episode 17, The Gauntlet. Vampiro and Matt Striker welcome us to the temple as we go straight into our first lucha of the night. It is Jeremiah Crane taking on Middle Mortis, accompanied by Katrina. This match isn't all too long, but Jeremiah Crane showed he can hang with Mil Muertes. Katrina does a little bit of interference, which the ref ignores. And I guess he doesn't really ignore it because he's still talking to her as Mil Muertes sets up Jeremiah Crane for the flatliner and then comes darting into the ring holding a kendo stick. Is none other than Prince Puma. Prince Puma whacks Mil Muertes behind the back. we get Jeremiah Crane hitting in another pump-handled kick straight to the mush of Miro Mortez. He goes for the pin. 1, 2, 3, and your winner, and leaving the ring immediately is none other than Jeremiah Crane. Now, Prince Puma gets back into the ring and starts laying some kendo-stick shots on Miro Mortez. Miro Mortez eventually rolls out of the ring. We get now Prince Puma about to dive, but he does that backflip into the symbol, but it's a little off, as Matt Striker says, as now he's kneeling in front of his new master, none other than Vampiro. Remember, Vampiro had reawakened Prince Puma from his loss at that casket match, and Prince Puma said he would be, subservient to Vampiro, and, so many words. We are now in the workout facility where we have Sexy Star. It looked like she's finished up a set or two as we get a Johnny Mundo fanboy delivering something to Sexy Star. He congratulates Sexy Star on being the first woman to win the Lucha Underground World title, but it sucks that she lost to Johnny Mundo, but not to feel bad, because Johnny Mundo is the best, he says. Sexy Star doesn't know how to take this, but he hands her a gift that was signed for Sexy Star. Sexy Star looks, like she's it's cool, I guess, but you can tell there's not going to be something nice inside. The fanboy rants on like, hey, I've been calling Johnny Mundo. He's still my favorite. He doesn't return my calls, but it's okay because he's the best in the world. Sexy Star eventually dismisses this guy, opens up the box, and it is a spider. That box would have been flying if I was, apparently scared of spiders. She like pushes it and smashes it, but nah, I would have tossed that damn thing. And now we are in the men's locker room as we get Tejano, just sitting around. Famous B, says, hey, you might be better per se than Cage, but the fans cheer Cage. And if you want to get cheered, you can call me. We could be a team with Dr. Wagner Jr. All you gotta do is call me. And then Tano's like, how about I kick your ass? And then the fans would cheer me. He goes, just call me if you need any help. We'll come down there and help you. We get the beautiful Brittany, pretty much doing the same thing as they leave. Now it's time for our second Lucha of the Night, as we have one half of the Worldwide Underground being Jack Evans and PJ Black taking on two-thirds of the former tag trios team, the dysfunctional trios team, Son of Havoc and Angelico. And unfortunately for Angelico, it looked like he hyperextended his elbow in this match, so he wasn't really a factor too much. But I think this match would have been a lot better if he was still in it. But man, is this PJ Black something else? He hits a nice 450, a springboard 50-50. I'm a big fan of the springboard moves, and just lays out Angelico. They take advantage, lays out Son of Havoc, because Angelico had just rolled out of the ring, and Son of Havoc didn't hit no other offense than this, as we just roll into the finish, as we get Jack Evans hitting a corkscrew 450 off the top rope. 1, 2, 3, your winners, the Worldwide Underground. And the Worldwide Underground needed a win in this capacity, because we saw last time PJ Black tricked Jack Evans into a pinning predicament, into winning the match and going on to that four-way of the Battle of the Bulls tournament. But I like that. It was pretty cool, a little bit different, but I still like the Worldwide Underground picking up wins after wins, especially only when Taya's out at this time. We still need other people to step up, except for Johnny Mundo. We need other members to be good. I don't like when you get a group and everyone in the group, not everyone, but only one person is doing good, but the other members really just suck. So they're not doing that here with these trios teams, this tag team, I should say. We're now in Derek Huerta's office as he's looking in that ultimate opportunity box, just looking inside of it, checking out what's going on. Out of nowhere, Sexy Star busts into the room. Derek Huerta makes the comment, hey, You're a champion for the week, and you forget how to knock. Six Star says, Mariposa. Duracoto's like, what about her? I want a match against Mariposa. Duracoto says, okay, another no mas match. Six Star's like, nah, I'm gonna whoop her ass old fashioned style. Duracoto goes, okay, so next week you get a shot at Mariposa. Now it's time for our third luchador of the night. And it is the best out of five series for the ultimate opportunity as we have Cage up 1-2, up 2-1 over Tejano. And damn, this is a good match. I like when these two dudes go at it because it's a big time brawl between two big time dudes. And this is a fairly short match. We get Tejano in the corner as Cage just comes rushing in. He pulls out Tejano, which Tejano actually takes the turnbuckle cover with him. And these two just brawl a little bit more before Tejano is back in that corner with that exposed turnbuckle. I do like that match. Striker and Vampiro, you know, hey, look, the turnbuckle's off. And Vampiro's like, what happened? Did you just pop off? And like, pretty much so. And Vampiro's like, wow, that's amazing. And, but we have Tejano in the corner. Cage comes rushing in. Tejano, you know, evades that as now we get Cage on top of the ropes. Not sitting on top, but like the rock pose on the ropes. Tejano pulls the feet of Cage. Cage falls right into the exposed turnbuckle. And now we got Cage bleeding a little bit. But like I said, I'm liking Matt Stryker. He goes, uh-oh, people. The machine has been opened up, and it's not oil, it's actually a blood, my friends. And now we get Tejano just putting a beating on Cage, tosses into the ropes for pretty much the sit out powerbomb. 1-2-3, and your winner is Tejano. And then so the series is tied now 2-2. Both men needing one more win. Duracoto pops out of his office and goes, man, what a great match. Oh, man, now we just need one more to see who gets the ultimate opportunity. And I can't wait. So what we're going to do, we're going to start this match right now. So now into our fourth and final lucha of the night. It is the finals in the best of five series for the ultimate opportunity. As we have with 2 points, none other than the Machine Cage taking on his opponent that has 2 points as well. Tejano. And now this is a big time match as these guys go at it, hitting them with anything and everything they got. You know, in the main events of Lucha Underground, there's pretty much lax rules, and the bull rope comes into place. A lot more blood off Cage's face and a lot of fun. These two just brawl and brawl anywhere and everywhere. I like when they go through the crowd of Lucha Underground because, like I said, there's assigned seating and the place is always packed. It's always a sellout. Tickets are free, but it's always full. So you see a sea of people like scattering out of the way. We get Cage hitting a suplex, just a normal suplex on the wooden bleachers. No joke. Bam, that shit had to hurt because the bleachers are kind of uneven. You had to land perfectly square, and damn, that looked like it hurt. But eventually, we get these guys brawling down to where the chairs are in front of the ring. I was front row. I didn't have a wooden chair. Maybe they switched that up. I don't remember. But anyways, Cage gets tossed into all these chairs, just back to the at least fourth row. Cage is just bleeding and bleeding. We get the ref there just checking. That's all he can do. These two guys, he's just checking on them. All I think he can really do is make sure they move because these two aren't stopping. But eventually, these guys get back in the ring. Tejano gets a very close near fall, but then Cage like gets pumped up. Just starts wailing on Tejano and eventually picking him up for a suplex, but turning it into a pod driver. I think that's like the elevator they call it. I know Rick Steiner had used that move before where you go in the suplex and flip the guy around into a pod driver. 1-2-3, and your winner of the Best of Five series for the ultimate opportunity, none other than they call him Cage. The crowd is thanking everyone because this is a big match. These guys flew, fly, fought, bled, and all that good shit just for this. I like when I see the larger wrestlers. I'm a Lucha fan. It doesn't matter if you're small or big, but I do like when I see the big guys able to get up off their feet, move a little, you know, do a little bit of technical stuff, and I always like a good brawl. So this match was right up my alley. Derek Quick, you know, says, oh, yes, Cage, you have won the ultimate opportunity, but you got to come in my office to receive it. The crowd boos the hell out of this because they won't see what the ultimate opportunity. They wouldn't know what the ultimate opportunity is. Damn, can't say that word. But so, you know, Cage goes into the office. We cut into that scene now. This looks like it was just taken right afterwards because we still see the blood drying on Cage's face. It's the same demeanor, same look, huffing and puffing. Derek Cotto opens up the box, and the Cage goes, yeah, I don't want it. Derek Cotto goes, what? No, I'm cool, man. No, look, this gauntlet gives you powers. Cage tells him, yeah, sure, I'm not into the Renaissance. You keep it. Derek Cotto goes, okay, man, just try it on. And if you don't like it, cool, but you at least have to try it on. Cage puts on the gauntlet. It's a right-hand gauntlet. So, I think, you know, so he puts it on anyways. And then you see the gauntlet, like electricity surging around it. You see Cage just swoop up, snatch Derek Cuarto by the throat, lifts him off his feet, goes, yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep it. And he puts down Derek Cuarto, and Cage leaves and leaves the office. We get Derek Cuarto sitting back down. He looks pleased as he hears a crackle like the thunder has just crackled, and we go off the air. Let's just run back through some of this stuff. I like that Prince Puma's back. I don't want to see him in the feud straight up with Mil Muertes. You cost Mil Muertes the match. We need to see Prince Puma in another match before he has to take on Mil Muertes, just to see if he has a new moveset, see something different before he gets into that match, because we know what Prince Puma has, but maybe this may be a little bit darker of a Prince Puma. Like I said before, Mariposa and taking on the Sexy Star. Sexy Star should get her ass handed to her. I know it's too many losses in a row, but you asked for it. You asked for an ass kicking. You know, you picked the wrong person. This person is not messing with you unless Mariposa is, but Mariposa would do something a little bit more devious using butterflies. That's her theme. So I hope Sexy Star gets a new feud with someone else here fairly soon. This Best of Five series for the Ultimate Opportunity, I didn't know what the Ultimate Opportunity was, but it coming out to be this? A gauntlet? No. Not feeling that at all. Hell no. Is he going to wrestle with this thing on? Is he going to punch someone? Is there more parts to this? I don't understand this. And then when is the tournament going to start to crown another Gift of the Gods champion? Let's get that into motion here pretty soon. That's what I want to see. You know it's going to happen. But let's get someone another opportunity really quick. Let's build people up for that. Maybe they're saving that for after the season, you know, the second half of the season. It's a 40-episode season. Maybe that's the case, but I want to see them starting to work on that. Maybe they could use my idea this time, which each medallion means something different. It means a different match per medallion. I ran through that before. We'll give you more of an update how I ran through it, because there's seven medallions, seven totally different matches. Maybe one's a three-way, one's a ladder match, one's a tables match. Only for that medallion. And then when the medallion's all together, it's just a free-for-all, right? So, yeah. Not feeling that gauntlet. If it was on the other hand, it would be Thanos, right? The Infinity Gauntlet? That's comic book world. But, yeah, so let's see Cage next week taking on someone and see how this gauntlet works. We got some guys to expose of, and sorry to say this, but maybe we could bring back Mariachi Loco. We need some jobbers. We killed off half the jobbers. And maybe bringing them back just to get exposed by this thing and this gauntlet. Okay, I just thought this right now. What if, like, Cage took on Mariachi Loco, and then now he's like a servant. He beats him down, but with his gauntlet gives him powers to give Mariachi Loco powers, and Mariachi Loco will pay another different character. I just want to see Mariachi Loco on TV. He's a good dude, and you know, I like the gimmick. I like both of his gimmicks, you know, Sinestro de la Muerte and him. But anyways, you know, we always give other people something to do. We always give people something to do in Lucha Underground, and that's why I like this show so much. This week, we're not having any Booker T, I believe. Booker T's upset because last week, my son had taken his part where Hijo de Finn Fish, you know, taught us some little bit of El Español. So, I believe Booker T's upset, but we'll get him back here fairly soon, you know, add maybe a zero to that check that I'm sending him, you know, even though he's not getting paid at all. But it's okay. With all that being said, I want you to check out all the other wrestling content here on the Trendy Topics Network, especially What's on Fight, my other show, where I co-hosted with none other than Mr. Fourth Row. We use the Fight TV app. They have free wrestling events on there. They also have paid ones, have weekly shows. They have everything you want in one little place, you know, from ROH to some highlights of TNA. We have Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We have Fully Loaded Wrestling on there. All that is free on there. So check out that, and also check out What's on Fight. Let's not forget the European Uppercut, a European perspective of American pro wrestling. Check out that podcast. All of them on the Trending Topics Network. We have some non-wrestling podcasts as well. So get in and get on those. But I want to thank the Trending Topics Network for letting the podcast that chats all about Lucha Underground. I want to thank you for listening to Lucha so I could chat about Lucha Underground. I want to thank the five types of cool Anna New Orleans. She's always cool, man. Trust me, she is just behind the scenes working on some stuff. And if she's not busy in a few days, we're going to actually get her on here. So, you know, keep our fingers crossed. She's a really busy person. So, you know, hopefully we can get her on. But I'm so glad that you had one to chat. And fuck, shit, man, I'm glad you had wanted to chat with me. I hope you all had a safe and happy New Year's. And let this continue throughout this year. And now that you had Lucha, adios.